Now that same day, the Sunday, Resurrection Day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said, 'As you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then their sight?' They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread.
Put your hand up if you have ever lost anything. That would be everybody then. Put your hand up if you have currently lost something. So if there is something you currently want or need you can't find. Well, that's quite a few people actually. That's it. No, the nosy part's like, what if you're all lost? But we won't do that. Last autumn, I lost my driving license. I was pretty sure that it was in the house, but it wasn't in any of the obvious places. I had a few attempts to find it, but to no avail. I thought about ordering a new one, because it is a fairly important document, but that seemed a waste, because I still thought that it was somewhere at home. I just couldn't see it when I needed to see it. Then earlier this week, I put on a jacket that I hadn't worn since the autumn, and for some reason, I tapped the breast pocket, and there was something hard in the pocket, and when I opened the pocket, there it was, my driving license. The strange thing was, although I'd lost it, it was never really lost, was it? Because it was there all along. I just couldn't see where it was. In this story from Luke 24, two of Jesus' friends and followers have left Jerusalem and are returning to their home in Emmaus. And it seems from the story that they're heading home because all that they were hoping for has been lost. And Jesus has been lost. They had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. Cleopas goes on to explain that the women had found Jesus too empty, and some angels told them Jesus was alive, but when the men went to investigate, they did not see Jesus, which is presumed turning home. Of course, the irony in the story is that Cleopas is explaining all of this, I was thinking, maybe mansplaining this, to the risen Jesus. Like my driving license, Jesus is there with them all along. It's just Cleopas can't see that he is there. We know that the crucifixion of Jesus was an historical event. It happened in a particular place and at a particular time in first century Palestine. But when Jesus was raised to new life, he is no longer confined to that time and place. Romans 6 says, "For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him," which means that Jesus is alive today. But I wonder if you feel like Jesus is really alive. I suspect that for many of us, Jesus is like my driving license. We have this sense that he's, well, sort of here somewhere, but we can't necessarily see him, or we can't necessarily feel that he is here. It sort of becomes that distant thing of, well, I believe, but that's perhaps something different to really think and with us. In our story, we're told that Cleopas and his companion, and I think it's probably quite likely that his companion was his wife, invited Jesus to come and stay with them. And when Jesus was at the table, he took bread, broke it, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it out to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. I think it's an intriguing paragraph. There's lots of ideas about seeing and then not seeing. Jesus was there with them all along, but they couldn't see him. Then their eyes were opened and they saw him, and the moment they saw him, he disappeared. So somehow in this story, Jesus manages to be both present and absent all at the same time. And although Jesus is physically absent from us, he is present with us by his Holy Spirit. He is here. He is with us, and he is working among us, if we have eyes to see it. So often when we pray and ask that God might come into situations, or that God might be with people, when the reality is that God is already here. We just need to become aware of his presence. Earlier this, and also when I say here, I don't just mean within these four walls. I mean God is present in our lives, if we could see or feel that he is there. Earlier this week, I went to see my spiritual director. A spiritual director is like a personal trainer for faith. They kind of get you trimmed up in prayer. Anyone can have a spiritual director. You don't have to be a vicar. It's useful for all sorts of people. And I was telling my spiritual director about the past few months. I said, it's been quite a busy time. I've been on a secondment covering the Archdeacon's sabbatical. Holy Week and Easter were wonderful but intense and demanding. I said, I'm now working on two assignments for the MA course I'm doing, so I'm deeply immersed in reading womanist theology. And I went on to say, consequently, I'm feeling a little bit out of touch with God. And she nodded sagely, and I sort of waited for her to dispense some wisdom that would, you know, kind of just make life straightforward. And she said to me, I think you need to sit on the sofa. And I said, I don't really do sitting. It's not my thing. And she just nodded again. She said, yeah, I think you just need to sit on the sofa and maybe listen to God. Oh, okay, fair point. I think the point she's making is Jesus is already here if we perhaps are only willing and able to start noticing his presence. I told Nick about my conversation with the spiritual director, and then he said, oh, that's like a quote that I've got on my phone to remind me of it daily. Nick had seen it at a retreat center. It's from a Franciscan sister, and it says, the journey of prayer for Franciscans is the discovery of God at the center of our lives. We pray so as to discover what we already have. We pray so as to discover what we already have. Cleopas thought that he had lost Jesus, but Jesus was with them all along. And in the end, I didn't have to look for my driving license to find it. It was already there, and there was a moment where I just felt it. And I wonder what it is that helps you to feel the presence of God in your lives. What is it that alerts you to the fact that Christ is risen and alive? Earlier this week, my constantly surprising 18-year-old son came to me and said, he's fixated with football, he came to me and said, I've been listening to a podcast about Martin Luther. What? And he wanted to know if, like Luther, I thought the Bible is the only source of divinely revealed knowledge. We ended up having a fascinating conversation about the different ways in which it might be possible to know God, by which I mean to experience God, something of the presence of God, and something of the personhood of God. Now, for some of us, as it is with my spiritual director, being still and being silent is what helps us to notice that God is here. Twice a month in our church, we have a Christian meditation group. It meets in the church office on the right-hand side here to enable people to be still and silent together. For some of us, nature is the place where we sense that God is present. I know particularly for me at this time of year, when I see the blossom on the trees, that is a visual reminder of the new life that Christ brings. Nature speaks to me of the life of God. For some of us, it is the presence of other people that makes the presence of Christ real and tangible. I'll never forget being telephoned and asked to go and see somebody who had a road traffic accident. And when I got there as a newly ordained person, I thought my job was to say something wise and comforting. And I quickly realized my job was just to hold her hand and to cry with her. For some of us, it is music that helps us to sense that God is here. Music manages to touch our emotions and it makes us aware of the transcendent because it moves us out of the present moment. It's almost like music helps us to tune in to God's frequency and to get onto God's wavelength. And for some of us, God becomes present as we read the Bible. I know that as a teenager, I felt a sense of call into Christian leadership when I read the Bible and I felt that God was speaking directly to me through some words in Isaiah chapter 6. Who can I send? Who will go for me? I felt that God was saying that. And then Isaiah says, "Here I am, Lord, send me." I shouted it from my soul. "Here am I, Lord, send me." And for some of us, we experience the presence of God as we take communion. There is something in the physical act of eating and drinking that enables us to sense the presence of Christ. It spiritually feeds us. What is it for you, I wonder? If you look back, when have been the moments where you've had the hair on the back of your neck sense that God is here and real and breaking into our lives? In the story, it is when Jesus breaks bread that Cleopas and his companion finally see him. They finally see the risen Christ. And I've always assumed, I don't know whether it's accurate or not, that they recognized him at that point because they had been at the Last Supper. And they'd been in the upper room and they'd seen Jesus take bread and give thanks and break it and give it to them and say, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So I've always thought in Emmaus there's something about that act that transports them back just a few nights. And the word remembrance is the word anamnesis. And I read something this week that says anamnesis is not just about remembering, but it's also about reenacting. And that reenactment isn't just reenacting the Last Supper, as in reenact this, have bread and wine and do what I do. But the reenactment is about reenacting the ministry of Jesus. So alerting people to Jesus' presence by doing and saying the things that he said and did. When we see people act as Christ acts, we suddenly sense the presence of Christ. In the passage, Cleopas and his wife say to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" And again, I wonder if you've had a moment where your heart has burned, where there is something inside you that just says, a thing is happening here, a spiritual thing is happening in this material world. God is here, and we can't necessarily explain it, but we just sense something precious and powerful. Last year on Sarah Simpson, who some of you will know, and we met for breakfast before we had to go to a service at the cathedral, where we're invited to reaffirm the breakfast. Sarah said, Maundy Thursday. No, that's not what I'm asking you. She said, I'm asking you, who's washing your feet? If you are serving others, who are you allowing to care for you and to serve you? I was like, I've trained this curate well, she is good. And actually, I didn't have an answer, because I was in that mode of, it's my job to do the services this weekend, it's my job to serve other people, and she just stopped me in my tracks to say, and so who is ministering to you? And because I didn't have an answer, she said, well, I would like to care for you and serve you by buying you breakfast. And then she said at 9:30 a.m, and because God is an abundant God, I'm going to order us both a cocktail as well. And she did. At the Last Supper, they shared bread and wine. And that morning, we had avocado on toast and Bellinis. And in that act of generosity, I felt the presence of Christ. I experienced his abundant love for me, not as a vicar, but for me. I felt known and seen and cherished. And Jesus was present in that act of generosity and kindness. Jesus is alive and with us. And sometimes we just need something to help us feel it. My driving license was never really lost. It was there all along. I just couldn't feel it or see it or find it. And as I say, Christ is risen. Jesus is alive. Jesus is here by his Spirit now for you and with you. And I pray that our eyes might be opened and that our hearts might burn within us. And that maybe you might know the joy of a breakfast cocktail too. Amen. Why don't we take a moment just to be silent together? And I'd love to just pray that we might sense the presence of God. Lord God, thank you that Jesus is not just a figure from the past, that Jesus is here and present by your Spirit. Lord, open our eyes, set our hearts on fire. Remind us again that we are not alone, you are not lost, you are here. And that your presence changes everything. Come, Lord Jesus.